analyze, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Most guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows what's new.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
It's time to take your medicine. And I can promise you're not going to like it. This is the Red Pill. And I'm your host, Steve Crawford.
What is the current reality if you only knew the truth? As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth. I don't even know where to start. All I can tell you is that, as weird as this might sound, I come from inside the media. I come from having had national radio shows on two different networks with hundreds of affiliates. With starting out knowing astronauts and knowing people in the military industrial complex. Having relatives who were colonels in the Marine Corps and admirals in the Navy, and there is so little of your reality that is really based on truth that it's just stunning. I mean, if I told you that the very nature of the Moon and Mars and most of the planets in the solar system is being kept from you for specific reasons to make you think that you're completely alone and that these planets can't be colonized. To ask that kind of question, the problem with anything in this field is that ultimately it's like running through a luminous field of weeds. Eventually you get to a black wall and are faced with virtually nothing but Zen cones and riddles as to what's on the other side of that wall. It's not like these people in the government, you know, call somebody like me up on the phone and tell them, well, this is our evil scheme today.
Welcome to the Red Pill. I'm Steve Crawford. That was Sean David Morton. Mr. Rowe, are you there, buddy?
Yes. Did you happy?
Hey, your volume's a little lower. Is it me? There we go. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah, so that was Sean David Morton. Now, I got to take a look. He wasn't on a few minutes ago. It looks like he might be on now.
I sent him an SMS on his cell phone to tell him to come on Skype, and I said, it's time. So I see he went yellow.
Yeah, so he did go yellow.
Hopefully he's going to be green soon. And I know he's added to the call. We may have to try to ring him in a moment, hopefully. So I think he's out there somewhere in the ether.
All right. That was a mess, though. All right. One more time here. Call free on Skype. There it is.
Beep, beep, beep.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I was watching that, his You Can't Handle the Truth, UFO Chronicles. You can, see, well, it says he's unavailable. You can see it on, Tubi TV for free. And that's pretty much, that was my introduction to Sean.
I think he's being fashionably late.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That happens a lot. Robert Morningstar likes to do that a lot. Today he got messed over though and he couldn't get, AA's been acting up from time to time. That's actually why I moved to B. Give him like two more minutes and then we'll try him again. So what's new and exciting in your world? Construction almost done at your place?
Yeah, we've got some floors laid down now. And so all the walls are finished. And yeah, it's getting along there.
Nice. You got the Property Brothers doing it?
Who?
You're in California, aren't you?
Yeah, no, it's just friends and people I know. And
okay. I would have went for the TV show, man. I watch all of those friggin' home. It's not like I'm ever going to be able to afford a house, but damn it, it's fun to watch them take something. Like my favorite show is Our Hometown or something.
Houses may get drop and dramatically in the next couple of years if things go. If things go in a certain direction, you know, there could be a dramatic population decrease. And so that would mean that the availability of property may go up. And if we maintain the actual, paradigm of being able to yeah. have and own a house and property, maybe cheaper.
You know, and it sounds like it's kind of mean to say, but it's not. I mean, that's just what it is. It is what it is, you know.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it from a neutral standpoint that the facts and figures say statistically that it's going to be an overabundance of materials because there's going to be less demand for that.
Mm-hmm. It's sad because so like I think about my youngest daughter. She and I, we haven't spoken in almost a year now. She made sure she laid down the law that I'm getting the shot and I'm getting the next one. And no matter how, you know, I'm the bad guy because I'm just conspiracy nut. So unfortunately, she's going to have to learn the hard way. So I'm not sure what to do about, because I am kind of ready for it because, when Bruce McAfee, he's pulled it on me twice. Now he claims it was an accident both times. And I'm sure it is, and like he's up there in age too, so somebody may have said, hey man, you want to go play golf? And then he's like, oh yeah, and forgot he had to come on the show. But what can you do? Because I've had people on my YouTube videos asking about, well, Tartaria for one thing, but also talking about Yellow Book, Yellow Cube. Do you know anything about that?
No, I know Tartaria, but not Yellow Cube, Yellow Book. What is this? No.
Yeah, see, it's freaking me out. I've heard about it a couple years back, the first time, And apparently Brad Olson gets into it in his book. I'm not that far yet. I've got four books on the go. I'm horrible. I've only read one. It was Giant Rock about George Van Fleet. I recommend that book. Great book. I actually read that in 2 days. So I have no friggin' excuse not to finish all these books that I got on the go. But for the Tartaria, see, I'm tripping as to the time frame, because what do you think? Because they were saying in the one video I saw, and it's probably the one that you had shared. It was like the really long one. I think it was 5 or 6 hours. And they were talking about on coinage where it says what you think it says 1979. It actually says I-9-7-9. And
I'm on the fence with that.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence. Although I think it is very possible that we have an extra 1,000 years that shouldn't be there. That it is very possible that this cycle of destruction of the human race to the basically back to the Stone Age and resetting may occur like every 300 to 500, 600 years or so, instead of, you know, us being around for one long contiguous time period of, you know, thousands of years without any significant interruptions in our technological paradigm stream. So when you look at the rate of development, like from now, from this time period backwards a few hundred years, and then you compare that to the agreed upon length of time that humanity has been on the earth uninterrupted, it doesn't make sense. Because you see, you know, and some people like to say, well, that's because we had an extraterrestrial influence or something, you know, recently that's boosted our paradigm and our technological prowess exponentially, which may partially be true, but it just seems very skeptical, I guess, to me, is my standpoint, is skeptical that humanity could be around for hundreds of thousands of years, or even tens of thousands of years, or thousands of years, and not get any further than, you know, they got all that time to, except for the last couple, few hundred years when we finally got into electricity and, you know, all of these other pieces of technology and space age. And I mean, that's all very recent, but look at the rate of technological increase in just the last 100 years, in the last century, in the last 50 years. So when you look at that and you say that mankind's been around for, you know, 50,000 or whatever you want to say, without any interruption, or has it been that we've been getting interrupted over and over and over?
That's and what my thoughts are, yeah.
This last time, you know, from the time when we say that we had our last spurt, which was several hundred years ago, that was, let's say, what happened in the Dark Ages, you know, in the 1200s and the 1300s. Right about that time, there's like not a lot of information coming out. Was there a world change? We see those old maps, like the one you were talking about from the 1450s, that shows a very different world. So 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, you know, that's a few hundred years, several hundred years. And before that, was there another civilization that fell at that time? And our civilization, we have literally, that was our starting point. Speaking of starting points, I think we've got a starting point for. He is here. The myth, the legend. Introduce yourself. You're the legend. Go for it.
Hey, Sean. Sean, are you handy, buddy?
He's shy. Hey, Sean. Sean! Or he butt dialed us. Very funny.
And he's not muted.
Calling Dr. Morton. Dr. Sean David Morton, are you there? Sean David Morton, come in. Sean David Morton, open.
It's a different mindset.
Sean David Morton, do you copy?
If you put in the chat, I am here.
You're there.
Let's go, Trams, from your biggest fans at Fox 11.
I hear the TV in the background.
Marla James and Bobby Castro, weekdays on the Fox 11 News at noon.
I wonder if he's trying to play a clip for us to hear.
Are you playing, watching Fox 11 News? It's so apropos.
Is he munching on chips? I'm getting the munchies.
Sean, can you hear us?
He's saying what is going on, so I don't know, maybe he's trying to talk to us, but his mic isn't
Sean, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is Mr. Rowe and Stephen Crawford on the radio.
What's up? Hey, what's up, Rowe? Hi. All right, sorry. I was sitting right here. Am I late or something?
We were trying to call you. We're on the air.
Okay, sorry about that. What are you savages doing calling me during the middle of the Rams game? Okay, let's.
That's what's going on.
It's not my fault. It's Steve's airtime. Go for it, Steve. Take it away.
Okay, I'm sorry for my tardiness. I was sitting right here. I think I just had the lid closed on the computer and just didn't pay attention. So
no worries. All good.
Yeah, everybody, the hosts are making best on the game too. So.
Well, here's been my astrological take on the whole thing, okay?
Okay.
So I called the Bengals because this coming year is the year of the tiger, right? And Bengals are tigers. So that's that. Today, the moon is in Capricorn. And of course, what is Capricorn? But a sea goat. And what's a goat? It's a ram. So the Rams are going to pull it out. So I've been saying for months that it's going to be people are like, no, the Chiefs are better and all that stuff. I'm like, no, it's Rams-Bengals because Bengals are tigers, and it's the year of the tiger, which means the symbols for the next year are Raja, who's the pet of Jasmine from Aladdin, and, of course, Tigger from Winnie the Pooh because, you know, he's fun, 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 fun. So that's good. So the Chinese New Year, interesting enough to start this up, the Chinese New Year is coming up on Tuesday. And it's a new moon in Aquarius, so it's going to be very interesting because the whole year is going to be about revolution and revolt and the ending of the forced ending of a lot of the vaccine mandates.
Yes,
I have an interesting update on that too. I mean, American resistance to the vax mandates and lockdowns is really key to everything, more so than I think many people realize. Even if the globalists could implement medical tyranny and use the vaxes to literally eliminate 9 out of the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, not through a single law being passed, by the way. A whole bunch of friends of mine are being arrested for going into restaurants and things in New York where they're arrested. They spend the night in jail, and by the time they get to court the next day, they drop all the charges. And because, again, there is no law. Mandates are not laws, and not a single legislature anywhere, not a state legislature, local legislature, has actually passed a mandate law. So with conservative red states blocking the agenda at every turn, this has now created a focal point for resistance. And let me tell you how far back this goes with my family. For 40 years now, actually almost 50, I had in 1974, 475 jack-booted, machine-gunned thugs from the Food and Drug Administration kicking the door into my house, dragging away myself, my sister, my mother, my dad, because my stepdad, Frank Salomon, was bringing Laetril across the border to try to help people with the pain and suffering of cancer. Now, Laetril is less harmful than sugar. It's defatted, liquefied apricot pits. And they were trying to tell you that apricot pits were full of cyanide and they would kill people and et cetera, et cetera. My dad then was treated like literally like a heroin dealer, where he went through a 76-day trial, the most expensive trial in San Diego County history. They wouldn't move it up to San Francisco, So they had to come down here and actually, like, you know, rent a house to stay in. And he and his four friends eventually got found guilty. But the judge at the end said, well, I don't think these guys are really doing anything wrong, and gave them all 3 years probation and let them go. But at that time, my mother became president of the National Health Federation. And she was president of the National Health Federation for 47 years. And the NHF was responsible for creating expos. Actually, they were doing these health expos. And it's because my mom didn't want to let all the new age spooky woo-woo people in, is what started the Whole Life Expo and started all the alternative expos. That was back when fundamentalist Christians all thought yoga was the devil's exercise. And if you do the downward facing dog, the devil will climb right up your patootie and he'll use you like a meat puppet, and you'll be worshiping foreign gods and go away from Jesus. So this is how far this has been. And my stepdad, because he was they were all diehard John Birch Society people. And by the way, the John Birch Society for forever has never said that the communists were the threat. They've always said that the U.S. government was the threat, that the New World Order was the threat, and that they were going to use the government of the United States to impose their tyranny on the world. And so when the NHF was fighting for, I mean, you have chiropractics, you have acupuncture now being covered by insurance, you have chelation therapy, you have, you know, all these things. We fought tooth and nail with the FDA to get these things legalized in almost 33 states. So the health freedoms that you have today are because of my family and me, because I ghost wrote books for my mother, like Nutrition, the Cancer Answer, and the Dieter's Bible, and, you know, and Light at the End of the Refrigerator, and, you know, so all these best-selling books that my mother wrote.
So
the only reason why I'm saying this is because we all said, look, we can do all the political stuff, we can do all this stuff, and yet, and if we don't, and the health stuff was a way to get through to people. He says, look, we're in the health field to birch more birchers, other, you know, and get more people into the political agenda. Otherwise, they're going to be the, you know, they'll be the healthiest slaves in the world. And so the vax man, I've got a lot of interesting information on this. So this means that all the people in the world can still see that there's another way to do things that does not involve totalitarianism, does not involve authoritarianism. So life in the red states goes on as if COVID barely exists. And now that we've got the, you know, the Omicron variant, which is interesting because it's an anagram for moronic, and they were planning, you know, the alpha, beta, pi. Their plan is to keep this rolling all the way through 2024 because it's the only way the demon rats can cheat in an election by stuffing ballot boxes and doing all the Stacey Abrams, you know, crap that they did. And Stacey Abrams should be rotting in prison now, but she was, but she went to court and her sister was the judge, and nobody thinks that's bad. Nobody thinks that's bad. So now Stacey Abrams is writing her crap romance novels. I actually saw one at the airport, by the way. Her crap romance novels where her sister is a judge who let her go on all of the election fraud that she committed in Georgia and, you know, and everywhere else. The Pennsylvania has now overthrown all of the illegal election laws, which will then be adjudicated by their garbage Supreme Court, because they have a Supreme Court that's actually elected. So they're controlled by the Democrats, which means that law is going to go to the is going to have to go to the Supremes, where the Supremes will actually strike it down because you can't, because they basically just violated the Constitution using the COVID stuff to violate all the constitutional stuff on the election things that they did in Georgia. I'm sorry, not Georgia, but in Pennsylvania. So
right. Life
in the red states goes on as if COVID barely exists, and now people have realized that Omicron is nothing more than the flu. And that people get it every year, and conservatives are not dying in the streets like the lunatic liberals said was going to happen. In fact, millions of people have been leaving blue states and coming to red states like Florida and Texas just to be free. And now they figured out, sorry about the diatribe here, but now they figured out that the goddamn vaccines don't work. They don't work. And so you're getting two and three and four vaccines, and the people who have gotten five vaccines are now blaming everything on the people who have got four vaccines, which is even stupider. And so now that they've realized that the vaccines don't work and this whole thing has been a ginormous military, industrial, entertainment, pharmaceutical, complex scam, and that now it's just the flu. And let me also point out, we actually have photographs of AstraZeneca, the company AstraZeneca, with COVID vaccines that are dated 2017, which means that they were ready for this in 2017,
right,
and that Trump was pulling a ginormous scam on the world by pretending that Operation Warp Speed was some rush to the finish line so that we could all get the vaccines in time instead of 5 years, nine months, and, you know, I did that. Well, he's the one that sicked Fauci on us. He's the one that sicked the vaccines on us. He's the one that spent us into $30 trillion, not Biden up there crapping his pants in the White House that he doesn't even live in, that they're going to blow up pretty soon, apparently, because they were doing something with a series of explosives on the second floor just a couple of nights ago, which means that they're either redecorating the whole inside of the place or they're putting a rabbit in the hat, just like they did with 9/11 in the towers, just like you saw Marvin Pierce Bush and Warren Dulles, who were the ones that were actually putting all the explosives into the elevator system and putting all the tripwires in to be able to actually demo the building when they hit the button. You know, and put the rabbit in the hat for them to do the biggest magic trick ever, because 9/11, you know, was all run by David Copperfield, I'm sure, as you know. So the interesting thing about this is that once again, in fighting the freedom fight, our fight has been to show people that the government doesn't care. And if grandma and grandma and Billy and Susie are dying of cancer or dying of whatever disease it is, and there's a cure for it that the government's not letting you have, that wakes people up. That's personal. You can tax them till they're dead. You can say that the yoga downward facing dog, I call it the position of the American taxpayer, because you can tax people till they're dead and they won't do a thing. They won't fight back, but you show them that they're actively hurting you. You show them that they're, you know, that there's a health crisis that they could either avoid or they can do, you know, whatever for, and that the government is stopping you from getting this. This is another revolutionary thing, to give him credit, that Trump came up with, which is his whole right to try, that if you were dying and you wanted to try an experimental therapy, that they were going to let you do it. And so, and again, there's people in the liberty movement that attribute far too much intelligence to the global power elites, far too much intelligence to the Illuminati or the group or whatever, to the point that they seem to think that the globalists are always planning 10 steps ahead and they're always beating us and they're chess masters and we're playing checkers. Because the funny thing about planning 10 steps ahead, though, is that if anything goes wrong with steps 1 through 9, then getting to step 10 is going to be impossible. And you just wasted a whole lot of energy and time and breath on an elaborate plan that ended up going nowhere. But the globalists are not the smartest people around. You have to remember that they're all inbred, that they're all from these.
Look at Fauci. Fauci, in his own words, I've got a video clip here of him saying about, just because you're in the hospital and you have COVID doesn't mean you're in the hospital with COVID. And another clip of him saying things like, normally vaccines take several years to be tested,
right,
but that's unacceptable now.
Well, go ahead.
Go right ahead.
I had a funny meme that I used in my lecture at the New Life Expo that says, a man found dead with 28 others with a huge stash of cocaine and an AR-15 rocket launcher rifle, judged to have died of COVID, and it's got a big picture of Scarface at the bottom. So, but the globalists are not the smartest people around. They're not even close. They're not even all that effective when their plans actually function. And there are no surprises. Their ideas are failing constantly. So there's only one reason. There's only one reason that centralizing criminals have not been brought down, and that is because no one has ever targeted them directly, like George Soros, like Alexander, like his scummy little kid, Alexander Soros. Because every time there's a governmental shakeup or a rebellion or mass movement for change, people target the system. They blame the system for all our problems, or they blame a handful of political puppets. And all they do is seek to add a fresh coat of paint or change some of its basic functions. And it's like, but the men behind the curtain will always end up back behind the curtain, because the problem is never the system. It's the people running and influencing the system while enjoying the comfort of the shadows. I remember coming in 1980, I remember coming home and my grandmother was peeling potatoes. And I go, "Grandma, come on, we gotta go vote. You gotta go vote for Reagan." And my grandmother, without blinking an eye, is peeling potatoes, and she goes, "Oh, Shawnee boy, don't you think if voting changed anything, they would have made it illegal a long time ago?" I was like, "Oh yeah, she's got a good point." So here's how the globalists seem to operate. This is the best I can tell. They aim a fistful of darts at a board, and they throw them as hard as they can, and whatever sticks is what sticks. So when a plan does stick, well, the globalists appear to be these brilliant chess masters, and, you know, that they're running computer AI and whatever that's outwitting us. But in reality, they just keep throwing around schemes blindfolded, and half those schemes all land in the gutter or on the bar wall. And the problem is that while the globalists are fumbling around in the dark, searching for a plan that works, they can do a lot of damage, and they draw a lot of attention. So every once in a while it becomes obvious when they've invested an immense amount of time and planning into a single unique scheme, a fulcrum point that many of their other plans will rely on in the future, that there's no doubt that the response to the COVID outbreak was meant to bulldoze numerous social issues, legal conventions, achieve full-bore centralization before the vast majority of people even knew what hit them. And it's kind of interesting because you got to give these guys some credit. It's been the born-again fundamentalist Christians who, since I was a kid, have been talking about sort of a global pandemic that would lead to the mark of the beast and the chip in the back of your hand or a number on your forehead. And, you know, we've seen that chip come to pass. And now Elon Musk is talking about putting chips in everybody's heads so that instead of, you know, even using your cell phone, you can just think about somebody and it'll dial whatever their number is. Yeah. But the pure excitement and adrenaline on display by the globalists at the outset of the pandemic, oh my God, they were coming in their pants. It was palpable. they were just orgasming right, left, and center. They were, and still today, you still have the scumbags like Gavin Newsom and adrenochrome addicts like Nancy Pelosi all out there, because they're just addicted to the power, just to the fact that they can muzzle you, literally muzzle you. And they were practically dancing in the streets because they want to see your slave card. Can I see your slave? I mean, your vax card, please. But because they're jabbering about how many worldwide socialist programs that they want to railroad through using the pandemic, which will be the chip in your hand or the slave card, not to mention how many individual liberties that they were about to erase.
They're doing that in Canada now, actually. Walmart is just instituting a new scanning system to scan your card. This is stuff they've already got ready.
Well, and it's already – and now they're already going to a cashless society because they're telling you money is dirty. Because if you hand somebody a $20 bill – at a 7-Eleven or a Quickie Mart or a Piggly Wiggly or something, oh, it's got COVID on the money. And it's hilarious to me that COVID supposedly escaped a level 4 high-level toxic biological weapons lab, and yet a piece of leopard-colored cloth is going to stop you from getting it. So that said, when a plan doesn't stick the way they want, sometimes they try to force it to work, and of course this never goes well for them, because we've seen this multiple times in all their attempts to institute gun control in the U.S. And you know who was the greatest salesman for the gun industry ever? Barack Obama! Obama sold more guns, and by the way, in 8 years of his presidency, Barack Obama did not go after guns once. Not once. And they failed over and over again, but just because people thought that Obama was going to go after their guns, never did. Never did a single thing about guns, but he sold more guns than any other person in American history. And the COVID agenda, by extension, the globalist reset, has now completely fallen apart in the United States and has led to problems for them in other parts of the world.
Well,
and
Canada, Trudeau is hiding now. He ran away from Ottawa, and he is hiding from all the truckers and people there.
Yeah, because you got 50 miles of truckers about ready. And Ottawa's not that big. I've been there. It's one little tiny building. You think of Ottawa's, oh, this vast empire of Canada. It's a block.
And they say they're staying until he either quits or all mandates go away.
Well, or they you know, storm them and realize that rope is cheap. So,
exactly.
I'm sorry about going off on this diatribe. You guys got me all worked up here, but it's
that's the kind of stuff I want to talk about.
All right. Well, American resistance to the vax mandates and the lockdown is, once again, it's key to everything. And it's more so than I think people actually realize. Because even if the globalists could implement, as I was saying, this medical tyranny through much of the rest of the world, with them blocking it, I mean, it's hard for Western governments to explain to their people why they should be enslaved over the COVID virus when a lot of people get it and they get over it and they go, okay, all right, and it's the flu, which everybody gets every year around this time anyway. When so many other people across the ocean live their lives normally in the face of the same illness, and that doesn't mean that some of the worst offenders will not try to maintain their wretched grip on populations. But it would seem that the Australian government has been completely lost to globalist tyranny forever, because that's what happens when you take people's guns away. And now the Australians have no guns. And I remember my stepdad used to say this, my Jewish stepfather. And it was kind of funny because he was super conservative. And his brother, Joe, was like a complete liberal. And my dad used to say, he goes, you know, the Jews, they want to live like Republicans and they all vote like Haitian boat people. And I was like, yeah, Dad, why is that? He says, because he says the Jews vote for everything, for taxes and for all this public stuff, because we don't have to pay for it. We have lawyers and we have accountants to make sure we don't pay and the middle class pays. But if the Australian government is lost to this tyranny, my dad kept saying, watch England, watch Australia, because they will do it to them first and then they'll do it to us. And he used to say, look, my father was freer than me. I'm freer than you, and you're going to be freer than your kids, because they're just going to keep turning up the heat and batting down the screws just a little bit over and over and over. So it would seem, again, they still will not be able to deny the reality that conservative Americans are free. And there will always be a chance for revolt within Australia, exactly because we are living proof that COVID mandates do not need to exist. And since the very beginning of the COVID pandemic, I've argued that the virus itself was a lab-engineered bioweapon, most likely created in the bowels of the Level 4 facilities in Wuhan, right down to the street from what is widely recognized as Ground Zero. I've argued from the very beginning that evidence shows that the NIH and Fauci, who Trump turned loose on us, were involved in the funding and manipulation of the coronaviruses at the Wuhan lab for years. Fox investigations now are pointing out that that's exactly true. Even CNN and the New York Times are now saying that's true, even though they were the ones that were saying this is complete conspiracy lunacy, meaning there has been a collusion between Western elitists and Chinese scientists to weaponize COVID through gain-of-function research, is what they call it. And this has now all been exposed as absolute fact. But here's where it started. It started with a white paper that was called A Report for an American 21st Century. And it was funded by Paul Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney in 2000 or so. And the bottom line of this whole thing was, this paper almost caused a war with China. Because in the paper, it called for us for the United States, Fort Detrick, and the biological weapons programs here in the U.S., the same people who invented and created AIDS and then distributed AIDS through the Pyramid Corporation as a hepatitis B vaccine, hepatitis C vaccine in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York. And they put ads in the papers and said, look, we're looking for young promiscuous homosexuals to get this hep C vaccine. They injected it into 50,000 people. Those 50,000 people wound up dying of AIDS. It wasn't really spread any other way but from these people doing it. But in this report, it said, we need to come up with a series of genetically specific biological weapons to begin to cull the population of China. Because if we don't do that, by the year – remember, this is 2000, they were saying this – by the year 2025, we will need an entire new planet just to feed the population of China. And I want to point out to you what's been happening is that China just bought 150 million acres of farm and ranch land in the middle of Texas. They're buying up farms here in the United States with the help of Bill Gates, And what's going to happen is the same thing that happened with the Irish potato famine when the British were exporting potatoes from Ireland and allowing the Irish in 1844 to all starve to death. Nobody left Ireland because they wanted to. They all left Ireland because of the potato blight, because the British were exporting all the good potatoes and specifically starving them to death. But the Chinese were so mad at this, and we did come up with the original SARS virus. And the original SARS virus was specifically designed to only attack the Chinese. And it was killing only Asians. I think they actually did I think South Park actually did an actual episode on, you know, giving Chinese and Indians or something like, you know, blankets and laced with SARS. So it's, and this was a disease that was specifically only attacking Asiatics. So they said, all right, well, okay, let's come up with something. Let's engineer the SARS virus so that it kills everybody. And I think that the interesting thing about it is we don't know how many people died in Wuhan or in China, but there were reports that people saw crematoriums operating from space, that there were massive bulldozers that were bulldozing cell phones into pits. And the only place that you got an idea of this was from, I think, the Epoch Times, or Epoch, or however you say it. Because the Epoch Times was saying that people don't realize that smartphones are – you have to have a smartphone by law in China. Because on your smartphone, it has your vaccination card, it has your social credit thing, which means if you yell at somebody on the bus, you can't take the bus anymore. It has all of your government programs, everything. So you must by law have a smartphone in China. Now, you can't just get rid of it. It's against the law because it's got all your social programs, and what they're going through here, through Yelp ratings and through whatever else, if I scream at somebody in a restaurant, they can say, Sean Morton's a bad guy because he yelled at so-and-so or such-and-such, or I've watched the Department of Justice, in my case, put up every smear thing that you can think of on the Internet, all of it completely untrue, totally falsified, but that's how they function and operate. So 22 million cell phones, and this was when they turned on the 5G in Wuhan, and somehow the 5G was operating with the virus or the vaccine or what have you. But 22 million cell phones suddenly overnight stopped working in China, which gives us an idea of how many people may have actually died from the function of 5G, or somehow it was interacting with the virus, or maybe the people that died with the virus. Now, what did China do? They locked up all of Wuhan so that nobody can leave Wuhan, but they let planes fly to the rest of the world. They let and a huge Chinese population is in Italy, is in northern Italy, because they make shoes. And those shoes, it's all Chinese that make them, and those shoes all say made in Italy on them. So you think that Geppetto and his little son Pinocchio are out there making shoes, and it's all Chinese. So that's where it started happening. China, Vancouver, the 49ers scored again, sons of bitches. It is interesting because I actually went to the Super Bowl in 1988, which was the 49ers and the Bengals. And I was a 49ers fan then, and they took film of us dancing around in the end zone or in the cheap seats in the back. And they used that on the 49ers season ticket commercial for 30 years and on Monday Night Football and whatever else. So it's kind of fun. So I don't know for certain if the virus was released deliberately or accidentally, but what I can say is that the globalists of the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation held a simulation of a global coronavirus pandemic 2 months before the real thing happened. He had in 2019, he had a whole big thing about how the coronavirus is going to make them billions of dollars, and he was handing out plush toys, little pillows that were yellow that had all the little receptors on it with big smiles on it. He was handing out coronavirus plush toy pillows to all the people at the conference. And the simulation, which was called Event 201, seemed to predict almost everything that would eventually happen with the real coronavirus outbreak that started in China, right down to the news companies and the social media giants locking down all information that did not fit their narrative, whereas they will, they deleted your posts, they deleted your videos, and then, of course, Bill Gates was planning on deleting you. So there was just one problem. The virus wasn't as deadly as they had hoped. So once again, the globalists fail again because they had hoped that the virus was going to be deadly enough to kill all these people, and it turned out just to be a variant of the flu, which is what SARS is. So Event 201 predicted 65 million initial deaths worldwide. And by the way, Bill Gates has been the only person ever to use the words population control and vaccination in the same sentence.
And get applauded for it.
And get applauded for it. Now, what did Bill Gates do? Bill Gates set up clinics in Africa, and those clinics in Africa led to vaccines that were inducing abortions, that were making women barren, that were making men sterile. And you know what the Africans did? They attacked the clinics. They grabbed the doctors. They put a bunch of tires around the doctors, soaked them in gasoline and lit them on fire, and then burned the clinics down. Then he went to do the same thing in India. He killed 450,000 people in India before the Indians attacked the clinics and burned them all down. This is Bill Gates around the world.
I think he had something to do with Zika, too, with the mosquitoes and the Zika.
He probably had to do it with genetically engineered. And now he's talking about putting a lens in space that would then filter the sunlight, but it would only be evil sunlight. Only it evil is. Sunlight.
Smithers, we're going to black out the suns.
And then you got Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is bald. Dr. Evil is bald. Jeff Bezos wants to live under a volcano somewhere. Jeff Bezos wants a base on the moon, and Dr. Evil had a base on the moon. And Jeff Bezos has a rocket that looks like a penis, and Dr. Evil. So Dr. Evil had a penis-shaped rocket.
You know, what was up with that? Like, come on. How blatant was that phallus? Like,
penis-shaped rocket. So,
wow.
So the journalists and the media have been scrambling for the past couple of years to now convince the public that the death rate of COVID is so much higher than it actually is or was.
Reporting 1%.
Right. But the fact remains that dozens of studies now show that COVID's average IFR is only 0.27%. And it's not going to change for the worse. It's only going to decline as COVID continues to mutate into less deadly forms of itself, like the flu, exactly like Omicron has done, which is the flu. And my wife actually had it. She just was coughing. It's the flu she gets every year. And the cool part was that she went to go get tested. She tested positive for COVID, and then she got paid. She didn't have to go to work for a week, and she got paid for the week. You know, she's at the Rams game now because she's a manager at SoFi Stadium. And, oh, my God, the 49ers, 17-7, really? Oh, come on. So she's at the – and actually the cheapest ticket was $1,100. Parking was $400 because the NFL has taken over the whole stadium. So usually I get a cheap seat ticket, and she manages the president's lounge or something. And so I get to kind of sneak in there and get a drink and get some food. So anyway, so just to say this, so let me give you one other example of this. They had hoped that Ebola was going to be, you know, they kept projecting Ebola was going to kill thousands in Africa, thousands in Africa. And it is very interesting because Pete Carroll, who's the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, is a good friend of mine, and Pete introduced me to Paul Allen. And I was just feeling goofy, and I was like, Paul Allen, oh, my God, can I borrow $50? And Paul Allen said, no, why do you think I'm so rich? Ha, 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 ha. And he walked away, and Pete told me, he said, look, that guy right there wrote a personal check for $100 million to outfit 8 747s as flying hospitals. And they went to Sierra Leone and all these African countries, and he says he single-handedly took responsibility for the Ebola virus and got it all under control with those flying hospitals. So it's so that's just was kind of person that Paul Allen was. So it's interesting because one of my predictions over the last couple of weeks has come true, because I predicted that you were going to have Stephen Breyer, that he was going to retire from the Supreme Court, and that just got announced. And I just said that was going to be a gigantic distraction from Russia, from the border, from COVID not working, from all that other stuff. Now, I thought there was going to be an evil – I mean, if I was them, what I would do is I would get rid of Kamala Harris by putting her on the Supreme Court. They are going to put a black woman on the Supreme Court. Yeah. But I just thought, get rid of Kamala Harris as VP, and then Biden would probably pick I don't think he's dumb enough to pick Hillary Clinton as a VP because his life would be worth a plug nickel, and he knows it. You know, if he would, he would have
Can
some.
Can he pick Obama?
What, as vice president? No. No. I mean, for Supreme Court?
He could for Supreme Court, right?
Yeah, he put him on the Supreme Court, but I think that he puts Kamala on the Supreme Court. If I was that, this is what I'd do. I'd put Kamala on the Supreme Court, and I would make Michelle Obama vice president.
Now, Barron Trump and Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah, well, that's true. And then, that's a ticket. And then I think they wind up a Manchurian candidate to look like some kind of radical Trump idiot. And, you know, he shoots Biden, and Michelle Obama becomes president and rides the wave of sympathy through 2024. I mean, they did it with Lincoln. I mean, when they got a Southern sympathizer, supposedly, to shoot Lincoln in John Wilkes Booth, and allowed them to continue the Civil War for another 23 years until Harrison made a deal with the Southern Democrats and said, look, I will pass Posse Comitatus and I will get the Union troops out of the South if you vote for me for president, which they did, which then freed up the troops to go beat up on the Indians and the Mormons in the West in all the territories. But the virus wasn't, the virus is going to decline, obviously, but why does this happen? It's impossible to say. But maybe the virus performed differently in the lab, but then changed dramatically once it was let out into the wild. There's the possibility that maybe the virus or the vaccine or something then interacted with 5G, which now Elon Musk has his 5,000 5G satellites in orbit. Mm-hmm. He's going to be releasing his Pi phone. Supposedly April 4th, he says, but now they're saying it's going to be delayed till December. That whole thing's going to be 5G where, I don't know, you can stand on top of Mount Kilimanjaro and make a call on your phone because that's part of the commercial where he's got some Zulu tribesman calling on a Pi phone. But anyways, it's just maybe it just performed differently in the wild. That would be my guess, but maybe it was divine intervention for whatever reason. The globalists invested an intense amount of energy into the COVID virus, and it let them down, and now they're stuck trying to create mass panic over a nothing burger. So what happens next? So
it wouldn't even be a flu season, I don't think, if it wasn't for the flu shot every year.
That's certainly possible. I mean, you know, would you really trust all your medical decisions to people at Walmart? By the way, when you come into Walmart or Home Depot, on the right-hand side, there's literally a mountain of canisters of Roundup which, by the way, Monsanto spent billions of dollars just to make sure that all of the ingredients were taken off the label of Roundup so that you wouldn't know what was actually in it. So, again, what happens next? It makes sense that they're going to need a distraction as a means to redirect momentum. And the globalists will do what they always do, which is they will create – I think they create war. And the war tensions are going to be this does not mean that large-scale war is going to be the intended outcome, but they're going to create a limited regional war that could grow into something more. You know, that's always on the table. Mm-hmm. It's not a mistake that the U.S. could potentially be caught up in not one but two major regional conflicts, including a Chinese invasion of Taiwan as well as a Russian invasion of Ukraine. Now, the Taiwanese are armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. And if they do, I think that the Taiwanese could, on their own, launch nuclear strikes against China. But for now, Ukraine is the most hyped up. We've seen a spillover with Ukraine a lot of times in the past. It's hard to say if this is yet another false start or if a full-blown Russian attack is going to happen. They keep talking about how the Russians annexed Crimea. And yet the Russians didn't do any such thing. The Crimeans voted, and 97% of the Crimeans voted to be part of Russia because they're all ethnic Russians. So Ukraine, interestingly enough, thanks to Joe and Hunter Biden, has been one of the most corrupt regimes ever. And so Putin is moving into Ukraine to stop these people. And, in just the three provinces that are moving the most drugs and causing the most problems. I mean, it's sort of like – it's like moving troops to the border to stop heroin and fentanyl from coming into the United States. But people forget, even though they want to paint Putin as this big villain, Putin stopped war in Syria. He stopped the war when the United States and Israel attacked what was former Soviet Georgia. Over and over and over again, Putin has been the peacemaker who's actually stopped a lot of these large-scale wars. And when you have people like Nathaniel Rothschild saying that Vladimir Putin is public enemy number one to the New World Order, then that guy's my friend. So for now, Ukraine is all hyped up. But I'm not really, you know, it's the constant U.S. influence, funding and arming, being pursued in the region. The Russians pulled all of their short-range missiles out of Eastern Europe, only to have George Bush rush in with missiles and point them all at Russia, which led Putin to say, look, I'm trying to make peace, and George Bush is running around like a crazy man with a razor. Yes, and the Rams score, so it's up to 14. Just saying, you guys, you savages called me during the playoffs. How dare you? But Cooper Kupp, once again, my hero. So he comes up. So it's now 14-17. So once again, if my prediction is correct, it's going to be Rams, Bengals. So there you go. So we'll see. So I'm not really interested in trying to read the dice on this one. My only interest in Ukraine is how it's going to benefit the overall globalist agenda. They're pushing Ukraine to join NATO. And Putin has been the one that says, look, you know, we'll pull out of Eastern Europe if you just promise that they don't join NATO and start pointing guns at us. Because first, the economic instability that's been growing exponentially the past couple of years is now going to hit overdrive. You've got inflation, real inflation's at 16% now. So if you put your money in the bank at 2%, you're losing 14% on your money. Because of the – and again, I'm sorry, this is not Joe Biden's fault. Yes, the Democrats are spending money like, you know, like drunk Irishmen on a Friday night after getting paid, but it was Trump that spent us into this hole. And why are the cryptocurrencies doing so well? Again, I did an interview with Janet Yellen that I published in my newsletter back in 2006. And I asked, but this was when she was the former head of the San Francisco Federal Reserve, called her on the phone. Said, you know, Mom, I got a newsletter and I'm making some predictions and you want to talk to me. And she was very nice. And I said, what's the national debt of the United States? And she said at that time it was about $8 trillion. And I said, well, how much actual?
Oh, okay. It's break. We've got 5 minutes. Sean will remember that you were talking about the national debt.
Well, and we'll talk about cryptocurrencies as well. So it's all good.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thanks.
When we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B. Freedom Slips.
Area, and you can see Reader here as he comes out, and that he's able to get away from. So Reader's coming up to me.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Kid Rock. No one's going to tell me how to live. I'm Steve Crawford. This is the Red Pill. I am here with Mr. Rowe and Sean David Morton. Sean, you back? You're probably muted. I had to mute your mic. Senor Sean, are you there, Mr. Rowe?
No, I'm not. I'm running around naked outside of my house.
Yeah, I'm thinking Sean's kind of caught up in the game right now. So actually, I want to play a quick clip that it actually grabbed for him. But it was something I heard him mention, a favorite part of a movie for the Avengers. This was Captain America Winter Soldier clip. So here goes this.
Shall we play a game? It's from a movie that my grandpa.
I saw.
Rogers, Stephen, born 1918. Romanov, Natalia Alyanovna, born 1984.
Some kind of recording.
I am not a recording, Fräulein. I may not be the man I was when the captain took me prisoner in 1945, but I am.
You know this thing?
Arnim Zola was a German scientist who worked for the Red Skull. He's been dead for years.
First correction, I am Swiss. Second, look around you. I have never been more alive. In 1972, I received a terminal diagnosis. Science could not save my body. My mind, however, that was worth saving. On 200,000 feet of data banks, you are standing in my brain.
How did you get here?
Invited.
It was Operation Paperclip after World War II. SHIELD recruited German scientists with strategic value.
They thought I could help their cause. I also helped my own.
Hydra died with the Red Skull.
Cut off one head, two more shall take its place.
Prove it.
Accessing archive. Hydra was founded on the belief that humanity could not be trusted with its own freedom. What we did not realize was that if you try to take that freedom, they resist. The war taught us much. Humanity needed to surrender its freedom willingly. After the war, SHIELD was founded, and I was recruited. The new Hydra grew, a beautiful parasite inside SHIELD. For 70 years, Hydra has been secretly feeding crisis, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was changed.
That's impossible. SHIELD would have stopped you.
Accidents will happen. Hydra created a world so chaotic that humanity is finally ready to sacrifice its freedom to gain its security. Once the purification process is complete, Hydra's new world order will arise. We won, Captain. Your death amounts to the same as your life, a zero sum.
Now, when I saw that movie, I lost my shit. Because I don't remember if I was listening to somebody else's radio show or if I was watching a documentary about the Nazis. But allegedly, way back then, there was a group of, maybe it was the alleged Aryans or something, but their salute, they used to say, Hail Hydra. And I always thought, it's not impossible that dude that was it Himmler? I think it was Hans Himmler. He, to me, he's like Red Skull. And, these guys infiltrated the American government. It just seems so realistic to me. Sean, are you back? If you are, you're muted. Hopefully he's not trying to talk to us right now, not realizing that I had to mute his mic. All right, so I'm going to assume he's wrapped up in that game. Now, what else did I want to get into?
Hey, Sean, unmute your mic.
Hello. Can you hear me?
There you go.
Ah, now we hear you.
Okay, yeah. You guys, you muted me and you didn't unmute me, so it's...
Yeah, it wouldn't let me unmute you. I tried.
Okay, all right. I just hit the button, but it was you guys that muted me, so anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Winter Soldier was an amazing movie from a lot of different perspectives because, you know, remember that the entire goal... And I tell people, whatever you see... I tell people that a couple of things in my talks. I tell people that when they, you know, when they tell you to wear your mask or tell you to do whatever you say, you know, or whenever they tell you anything, they say, you know, your demands go against my deeply held personal spiritual beliefs. And they're like, well, what are those? Well, they're deeply held and they're personal, which means they're none of your goddamn business. you know, the other one is that every time you see Kamala Harris or Joe Biden on the TV, put both your fists in the air and yell, Hail Hydra! And I also say whenever somebody comes up at you and violates your own spiritual truth, your job is to yell, shut up, stupid! So, you know, that's what I try to tell everybody. So,
agreed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, so where were we? I was talking about it was important. The Janet Yellen thing is important. Can I finish that
yes,
thought?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so I'm doing this interview with her, and I said, what's the debt of the United States? And she says it's about $8 trillion. And I said, well, okay, so how many Federal Reserve notes are actually in circulation? And she said, about $750 billion. And I said, well, how's the national debt supposed to be paid? She said, well, with Federal Reserve notes. And I said, well, how are you supposed to pay it? If there's $8 trillion in debt, this was like 2006, $8 trillion in debt and only $750 billion in circulation. Her exact words were, I don't know. And then she said, she then came out with her prophetic thing saying, I presume that at some point in the future there is going to be some kind of electronic currency, and that this electronic currency is going to allow us to, you know, is going to allow for the debt to be paid or whatever. So I said, so instead of printing paper money, you're talking about basically creating photons, money out of light instead of paper. And she says, yeah, that's about right. I mean, I almost coined the whole e-currency thing. And so when she became Secretary of the Treasury, that's another reason why all the – and I've been telling people when Bitcoin was like between 6 cents and $6 for them to buy Bitcoin, and everybody thought I was nuts. And, of course, you know, Bitcoin went crazy. And the people that did buy a bunch of Bitcoin at the time are now millionaires. Of course, they're not sharing that money with me, unfortunately. So that's another reason why the electronic currency is probably the wave of the tomorrow. And as I said, the economic instability, you can just look at the Weimar Republic and what happened to Nazi Germany before Hitler took over. It's exactly the same situation they're really creating here. You cannot let these people off the hook by saying that they're stupid or they are incompetent. They are not. This is all part of a very well-schemed plan. Thought out specifically by George Soros, who wrote an $89 million check to make Obama president of the United States just so he could get the health care stuff in, that when Hillary Clinton tried to do it, she was laughed out of the Congress. But Obama came in, and that was the reason why Obama was put in and not Hillary, because they felt that they could get further with Obama and use racial guilt and you're a racist and all this other stuff that they've ingrained into the American psyche, you know, over the last generation, that would be able to deflate a lot of opposition to this, to Obama's, you know, whole healthcare thing, which they could have repealed if not for that scumbag traitor, John McCain. So, and let me tell you that behind the scenes, the Bilderberg meeting met in May of 2008 in Chantilly, Virginia. And there was an argument between the Rockefeller Group, which was led by Hillary and Bill Clinton, and the Rothschild Group, which was led by George Soros. And the Hillary gang, they were the first birthers that were yelling and screaming that this guy wasn't even born in the United States. How are you going to make him president when he was born in Kenya? And Soros was the one saying, we control the press, we'll create the narrative, we'll erase the whole thing, you know, we'll just pretend and, you know, we'll come up with fake documents and whatever else and just pretend he was born in Hawaii, blah, 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 blah. Which, by the way, that's not even the case. Even if he was born in Hawaii, he gave up his U.S. citizenship to become a citizen of Indonesia, which also makes him ineligible to become president. And John McCain was ineligible to be president because he wasn't born in the United States. He was born in Panama. So, you know, so that's neither here nor there. But that was the basic argument. And they basically said to Hillary, look, you know, you're dog food that the dogs don't like, and we can get our agenda in. The battle between the Rockefellers and Rothschilds was that the Rockefellers were basically going to – they didn't care about the sheep. They were going to beat the sheep. They were going to kill the sheep. They were going to shear the sheep and then kill them. They didn't care about them at all. And that was Hillary's whole plan, was to basically just create chaos and war and, you know, bring the hammer down, if you will. And there's a reason why the book 1984 is her favorite book. And from George Soros, on the other hand, he said, look, we're going to go the Rockefeller way – the Rothschild way. The Rockefellers set up places like the Soviet Union, which we found out when the Soviet Union collapsed, that the person that handled the bankruptcy for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics was David Rockefeller, which means that the USSR was basically a front corporation for the Rockefeller Foundation. That's number one. So was China. So, and you can see that they were responsible for murdering about 250 million people, whereas the Rothschild set up places like France and Canada. And again, it was much easier to build a jail cell when you give the prisoners a blanket and a pillow, and you give them a little health care and a blanket and a pillow, and then they're very happy with getting let out of one cell into another bigger cell and thinking that they're free. So the economic instability is going to grow exponentially. It's going to hit overdrive. You've got inflation, you've got gas prices, you've got I predict the price of oil will at least hit $100. Which means that you're going to have gas in anywhere between, you know, it's already $5 in California, but it's going to hit probably $7. The supply chain is breaking down because of, once again, all the COVID stuff and the fact that the Chinese are no longer willing to accept worthless currency, which is us, for stuff that's actually worth something. So all the threats that are looming over us are going to expand tenfold now that you have two nuclear superpowers at odds, even though – again, Putin has no interest in war. Putin himself has headed off three separate wars in Syria, in Georgia, also in Crimea. So even if the Ukraine saber rattling was to choke out into nothing, just the existence.
Putin's one of my heroes, man. Like, I love Putin. Right now, anyway.
It's funny because we were both born on October 1st, so I figure he's got to be a good guy. But even those, if those choke out into nothing, just the existence of the danger is going to be enough to inspire enough widespread economic fear that it's going to basically reset the news cycle. And, you know, you'll have the, you know, your trolls at CNN and MSNBC and ABC and all the controlled scumbag media. And, you know, and even Fox is controlled. Probably the only person on Fox, which is the most popular show on cable, that's not controlled, or the two people are Greg Gutfeld and, Tucker Carlson, who, yeah, again, amazes me night after night after night with the stuff that he comes up with and the fact that 10 million people are watching his program. So secondly, the pandemic issue is going to be cast to the wayside with little fanfare and has to be swept under the rug so people don't get up on their hind legs and sue these people for a whole bunch of money, because the globalists know it's going nowhere for them, but they need a way to exit without explaining the numerous lies and the fact that Fauci was behind a bunch of it, that they peddled in the past 2 years, with them saying that these are going to be the death toll, and this is going to be it, which all turned out to nothing. Because once again, war is a way to wipe the slate clean on the news cycle.
Yeah.
All right. Third, you've got heightened tensions with Russia, which is going to open the door to a different form of paranoia. And it's so interesting that it used to be, you know, you had the right wing Joe McCarthyites who drummed up all this hatred for the Soviet Empire, and now it's the Democrats who are using the same Red Scare that, you know, there's Russians in everybody's bed and they're alternating the elections and doing all this, which, of course, no such thing ever happened. You know, the elections were so entirely fixed by the Vatican and by the Jesuits that it's not even funny. You know, and I can talk about how that all went down, but It's going to open the door to this different kind of paranoia at home. How many times have we heard the media claim of Russian influence on the U.S. elections? And how is that going to play into the fact that they're already trying to say that the elections in November are going to be fixed because they're looking at – you've got 29 Democrats that are retiring from the Congress, just retiring, just giving up because they know they're going to get killed. And yeah. you're going to have not only a red – I don't even know what to call it. A tsunami is a tame word for it, but they're probably going to win – the Republicans will probably win more than 80 seats. And the Democrats only control the House by 8. And if they pick up 80 seats, my prediction is they'll pick up at least 80 seats in the House and probably 10 seats in the Senate, which is going to make Biden even more of a lame duck as well. And I think they'll have enough Republican influence to be able to override the filibusters and, you know, come up with 60 votes in the Senate to not only derail the entire agenda of Alexandria occasionally coherent and, you know, Joe Poopy Pants Biden, to be able to nullify everything in this crap Democrat agenda. So there's zero proof of any of this. There was zero proof of them altering the elections here when I know that the Dominion voting machines were altered by the Vatican and the Jesuit satellite system. And then when the voting machines – when the Dominion voting machines are being overwhelmed – because the vote for Trump was so overwhelming and they realized that they couldn't cover it up with just the voting machines, a call was made from the Vatican, from Rome, to the Mafia, and the Mafia called the AFL-CIO, and they called the truckers, and all of the voting machines closed down at 1:38 a.m., and the trucks started rolling with the giant bags of votes that had that all were famously presidential ballots, with one vote on them, a stamp vote for Biden, which we now have an ultraviolet machine that can prove that all of these are fraudulent, especially the ones in Arizona. But again, it doesn't matter because it's what the Electoral College says, not what the vote says. But they're already trying to tell you that the vote is rigged and that it's all crap and it's all going to be this voting rights stuff, which is complete crap because they're basically saying it's – and I don't know why blacks aren't up in arms in this, because blacks only make up about a 13 to 15% voting bloc. And we all know that it's just for the whole Voter ID Act, which is so that people without IDs can vote, is for illegal aliens to be able to vote in the election, which is now completely disenfranchising. Of course, now you have the Hispanic vote, but the Hispanic vote is all – they're all voting for Trump. And, you know, I remember – listening to the Mexican guys going, yo, man, these black guys need to just stop whining and get a job, man. So it's like, all they do is whine. Why don't you get a hustle, man? Why don't you start working for a living? So
well, there's way more black conservatives now, too, I saw.
Because they saw – and look, everything Trump did was for the blacks. He signed the First Step Act. There's 126,000 people in federal prison. The First Step Act freed a grand total of 3,300 people. And of those 3,300 people, 1,800 of them went right into the arms of ICE and were then deported to their home countries. And the rest of them were all blacks that were released because they reduced the criminal penalties for crack cocaine from 15 to 20 years to 3 to 5. So the rest of the guys that were released were black. Now it's interesting because hundreds of people are being kicked out of the halfway houses. Are being kicked out of home confinement, are having the ankle bracelets cut off and being let go, because in the First Step Act, what's finally happening is all the good time credits are finally coming due, because the Bureau of Prisons, which is only the DOJ is more corrupt than the BOP, but the Bureau of Prisons had 5 years to begin to implement the good time credits, and the good time credits say for every 30 days that you work, you get 15 days off your sentence of good time. And now that all that's going to start to kick in, so all the educational credits, all the work credits, all this stuff is going to eventually probably have the federal population, which again it should be, because the majority of the guys that I was in the camp with didn't even know why they were there. You know, they got tagged for conspiracy, which is you didn't do it, but you thought about doing it, and the DOJ is so corrupt. That once again, it's like, for example, in my case, when the prosecutor gets up and says, well, the crimes that Sean Morton committed, there's no victims and there's no monetary loss to anybody. And I was like, well, then how am I being accused of something if there's no accuser? Well, you know, you're guilty of conspiracy. You thought about doing stuff. And you went against the pile of paper known as the Corporation of the United States, which, again, is like kind of being thrown in prison by Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny because it's a fictional entity that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, and I'm actually working on paperwork now, which I'm going to make available to a lot of people, which is going to completely overturn my conviction and completely overturn the fraud that of what they did to me. And I think we'll actually, at some point when I get it out there, is possibly going to free hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are in this predicament. So there's zero proof of the Russians doing anything to the elections, but this is the narrative that's already being planted among the leftists. This is the Stacey Abrams, Joe Biden narrative that somehow the election, which more people voted in than ever before in history, 80 plus million people voted in, they're saying that there's voter suppression because black people are apparently too dumb to get an ID, which is, I don't know any black person ever that doesn't have an ID, but it would not surprise me in the slightest if U.S. elections were somehow postponed or the outcomes are ignored because of unverified claims of Russian interference. And what better way to prevent a complete conservative sweep in both the House and the Senate than to simply stop the elections altogether by claiming some sort of election fraud and so forth. Mm-hmm. So by extension, it's only a matter of time before a conservative rebellion begins to arise in the United States. It's happening now.
Yeah.
To unseat the globalists from power. It's already happening in a lot of different forms for people who are paying attention. The most common way, and let me give you an example. Greg Gutfeld and his Gutfeld Late Night Show now has a greater viewership than Stephen Colbert, The Daily Show, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and James Corden combined. Combined, there are more people watching that late night conservative comedy show. So the most common way for corrupt governments, or look at Tucker Carlson. He's the number one show on all of cable. There's 10 million people tuning into Tucker Carlson every night. And I can't believe the stuff coming out of his mouth. It's amazing. And the most common way for corrupt governments to undermine a rebellion for freedom is to now accuse it of being an astroturf revolution created by a foreign enemy, like Russia today. Or, you know, somehow the Russians are behind it. Or somehow Vladimir Putin being the enemy of the New World Order, that he's the one funding it all, when it's really the chaos in all of our various cities was being funded by George Soros, who put in all these attorney generals, who are now being backed by mayors like Lori Beetlejuice Lightfoot, who looks like one of those toys you squeeze where the eyes pop out. But that's to say that
the, ugly man, that chick.
Yeah,
is
she is fun. Just fugly. All these bitches are fugly. But you know, inside and out, I might add. But that's to say, the corrupt government seeks to take away the heart and soul of the rebellion by claiming they aren't fighting for freedom; they're only fighting in exchange for money or power from a foreign nation, and the reason for fighting is all fake. But let me give you one other thing, and I'm sorry I'm blabbing away. I don't know.
I took
a nap today and I think I drank some coffee, so I'm a little torqued up. The biggest thing for me is that I look at, you know, I'm looking at Michael Flynn, and I'm looking at General McHenry, and I'm looking at Juan Osaba. Now, you know, Juan Osaba is, I've known this guy for 30 years, 20 years. And he's been outed all over the place. It's a guy named Wayne Williott. And I had a conversation, I think when it was January 6th, I think. I had a conversation, actually Wayne called me. And he said, don't out me, man. Don't tell people who I am because I'm trying to protect my family. And I'm like, look, man, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing as long as you're not hurting anybody. And I said, but you claim you're all in with Trump, right? Oh, yeah, me and Trump, we're close, man. You claim you're all in with the revolution, right? Oh, yeah, I'm totally, yeah, you know, it's me and Trump, you know, And this is what he's telling everybody else, like he's got some kind of, you know, massive insider information and not just trolling the Internet for the wildest stuff out there, reading Ben Fulfer's report and then reporting it all like he's on the inside. And I said, okay, I've got a request for a pardon along with 10,000 other people sitting on Trump's desk. He's got 50,000 requests for commutations of sentence from people that are all pretty much innocent, that have been framed by the DOJ, that are in the federal system, get him to sign my pardon. And his response to this was, oh, I can't do that. That's for further down the line. I said, there is no further down the line. He's done. He got beat fair and square. And they cheated. You know how they cheated. He did nothing about it. No one inside. And by the way, back in August of 2017, I did Kerry Cassidy's Project Camelot show, and I did the astrology on Trump. And Trump was affected by, on August 17th, there was an eclipse that went right across Trump's chart. And I said at that time, Trump is going to be impeached, not convicted, but that he's going to be done in. And I said at that time, he wins the election in 2020, but somehow he loses. And I don't know how that's going to work, but I mean, he wins, but he loses. And it'd be a good thing that he's not president in 2020, because anybody elected in a year that ends with a zero usually dies in office. So there's an astrological aspect to this. So it's interesting. Reagan almost died, came inches away from dying. And then Bush, people don't realize, somebody threw a hand grenade at him when he was giving a talk, I think, in the Ukraine. And it bumped up against the podium, and it was a dud that didn't explode.
Is that senior or junior?
Junior. And I had Secret Service guys show up at my house saying, you know, we hear you've talked about assassinating George Bush on the radio. And I said, no, and I did the astrology on it, and they spent about $200 million protecting Bush, and I gave them the exact dates that they needed to protect him, and they spent a whole bunch of money actually doing that. And I told Secret Service agents Trey and McCulloch how to save his life, and they did. So the challenge of this was, I said, whoever gets elected in 2020 is going to die in office. Trump's not going to die. So again, he wins the election, but he loses. And his closest personal friends are going to be the people that do him in. They're going to be the ones who betray him, which is exactly what happened. Not only did Trump not drain the swamp, but Trump actually hired the swamp. He hired Bolton and he hired Barr, who's the biggest swamp monster on earth. And then he got stabbed in the back by all these people because he betrayed people like Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and all the conservatives after he met with Henry Kissinger, by the way. And what was the one campaign promise that he didn't keep? The one promise that would have stopped him probably from losing the election and getting betrayed was he didn't lock her up. And that was to go after Hillary Clinton, because he knew that Hillary Clinton had not only dirt on all the Democrats, but all the Republicans as well. And that she was going to use they have tapes of them having sex and child molestation and the sex parties that were going on in Washington, D.C. that they had film of whatever else. And, the Rams kick a field goal, and it's 2017. So with 1:49 left, so we'll see what happens. So the whole point of this being is that he surrounded himself with swamp creatures, and then he was surprised when Mark Meadows and all these people around him basically betrayed him. He was going to pardon Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, and it was Mitch McConnell who said, if you do that, I will get my 18 butt boys in the Senate to vote to impeach you, and you'll never be able to run for president again. And he walked away. And so I said to Juan O'Savin, I said, get him to sign my pardon. And he said, no, that's for down the line. I guarantee you he's going to be president after January 20th. And he kept on with that narrative, because then he said, oh, no, now he's president on March 3rd. Oh, no, now he's going to be president in August. And look, Michael Flynn knows better. General McHenry knows better. And here's your problem. You got all these people on the alternative right that are blowing sunshine up people's kilts and all talking about how Trump is going to return and how he did away with the federal corporation, which he did, which makes him still president of the republic, which technically he is, which is then, they're saying that, Biden's a fake president, et cetera, not realizing that's not how the system works, that the guy who really betrayed Trump was Mike Pence, and that Pence was the one that accepted the Electoral College with no investigation, whatever. But these alt-right people, and by the way, Juan O'Savin is now in the swami business, because when all of his political stuff turned out to be wrong and he had no inside information whatsoever, now he's saying, oh, come on a retreat and spend thousands of dollars and I'll teach you spiritual healing. And it's just – and these people know better. I mean, Flynn was the one guy, the last act of the Obama administration was, we got to get Michael Flynn. because he knows where all the bodies are buried, and he can dismantle this entire conspiracy that we're putting in place against Trump. But what did these people do? And here's the problem. They're all telling you, and this is a verbatim quote, sit back, get your popcorn, and just watch the show. So you don't have to do anything. The white hats are going to do it for you. The military is going to step in. They're going to start, oh, whoops, chief, and they're going to start hanging these people from the highest yardarm. And, you know, they're going to do everything for you, which is complete crap. So nobody get involved. Nobody get involved in voting. Nobody fix the voting system. You know, nobody support a candidate. You just sit back in the white hats, and they're going to put in NASARA, which is a complete hoax. They're going to put in GSARA, which is now a UFO hoax, where UFOs are going to come down from the sky and somehow make you all rich. And it just drives me crazy that they're – and let me give you one other thing as well, because I think this is a historical – you know, I love Russian history and the Soviet stuff, and I did all kinds of stuff on how they actually saved the Romanov family and, you know, that they didn't really die. All right. When the Russian Revolution came in, and Lenin came in and he murdered like 22 million Ukrainians and they killed everybody. And then Stalin takes over, you know, not exactly a nice guy. Get him, get him, get him, get him, get him. All right, sorry. Interception! Rams intercept! And they just won the game. Yes! Nice. It's Rams, Bengals. I'm sorry, my prediction comes true. The Rams just won the game. They just intercepted the ball on the 5-yard line. So there you go. They beat the 49ers. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just
No, that's awesome.
My wife's probably going crazy.
Yeah, heard it here first if you're not watching it.
But. Yeah, there's 1:09 left, and Aaron Donald just intercepted the ball. The Rams got it back on the 5, so it means they're going to score. So the Rams – it's going to be Rams-Bengals. Remember I told you at the beginning? I gave you my prediction. It's going to be Rams-Bengals. So it's the year of the Tiger and the moon's in Capricorn, so the Rams are going to win by not a lot. So they chase Garoppolo around. Garoppolo panics. He just tosses the ball into the air. He just throws it up. Oh, it's the worst thing ever. He just literally he's going down, and he just throws the ball up into the air. And it bounces off the guy's fingers. And who was it that actually intercepted it? 92. So they get it, and there you go. They get a ring. So, all right, where was I? I'm sorry. I got all excited by the 49ers
okay.
going down. The evil 49ers. So, okay, so here's what happened. There were Henry Ford and all of these and all these American industrialists were basically funding Hitler because they saw Hitler as the only alternative to Stalin taking over Europe, and the Iron Curtain had fallen and blood was just, you know, was oozing out from under the Iron Curtain as Stalin was killing millions of people. So what happens is that suddenly there's an organization which was called the Trust. And the Trust comes out, and the Trust then gets Henry Ford, gets all the anti-communists, get all the people, you know, all the people that were against the Soviets and were aligning, like Henry Ford, to topple the Soviet Revolution and to stop the communists at that time. People didn't realize that the Trust was actually set up by Stalin and was set up by Felix Dzerzhinsky, who was head of the Cheka, which was the forerunner of the feared KGB. And they were running the Lubyanka and the prisons, and they were the ones that were basically instituting this complete that they were instituting all the murders and, you know, and everybody in Russia. The only guy that knew that the Trust was fake was a British spy named Sidney Reilly. And there's a fantastic 10-part miniseries from the BBC that you can find on Netflix or whatever, and it's called Reilly, Ace of Spies. And if you want to see something that's by the way, the Rams are engaging in the greatest play in football, which is taking a knee at the end of the game. The clock runs out, and the Rams win by 3. So there you go. So my prediction at the beginning of the game that the Rams would win, and it was going to be the Bengals, you know. So there you go. So we're all good. And by the way, it's interesting because this is the first time in history that you've actually had a playoff game played in the home stadium of one of those teams. And now, 2 weeks from now, the Rams are actually going to play in their home stadium for the Super Bowl as well. And that's only happened once, which was last year when Tampa Bay and Brady actually won the Super Bowl in their home stadium. So Sidney Reilly goes into Russia and becomes a member of the Trust, knowing that the thing was fake and that he was basically giving his life for this. And he says, I want industries blown up. I want revolution. I want phone companies blown up. I want some real stuff to happen, and I want you to assassinate Joseph Stalin. And when Stalin heard this, he lost his mind. He arrests Sidney Reilly, and Stalin, because of his ego arresting Reilly, manages to destroy the Trust, which is the most successful counter-revolutionary organization ever conceived of by the mind of man. And, of course, they learn that it's fake, and Henry Ford pulls his money, because basically the anti-communists were funding Stalin and the communists to keep him in power. And it was only Sidney Reilly, who eventually winds up dying in Siberia, who gave his life to show that the Trust was fake. That's what I think is happening with the likes of Juan O'Savin and Michael Flynn and all these people that they form the Trust. Wow, you just turned a light on your face. That's crazy. You're not a ghost after all. That these people are making up the Trust to basically stop people from taking the action that they need to take. So when we saw this with the Chinese, by the way, when the Chinese Communist Party, when they brutally took over Hong Kong, even though they swore that they were going to have Hong Kong complete autonomy until I think 2050, and they just said, no, screw that, we're just going to go and take over Hong Kong. But we also saw this in Kazakhstan, when the people rioted in the streets over price inflation, and Russian troops were then sent in to quell what was called a foreign-created color revolution. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Although George Soros has been responsible for generating all these color revolutions in Belarus, and you almost saw it in the United States. Right after Hillary Clinton lost, everybody started wearing purple. She started wearing a purple jacket. Everybody started wearing purple ties, and I told people then, this is a color revolution. This is a purple revolution. George Soros is behind the whole thing. He's the one that's going to fund this whole deal. And so make no mistake, when the fighting starts in the U.S., our rebellion will not be called the fight for freedom, just like they're calling the people that were upset over the fake election rioting in the Capitol. They're calling that an insurrection. Nothing could be further from the truth. They can't even afford a dictionary to look up what the word insurrection means. There's 750 Americans that are being wrongfully held and have been for months, where they're being accused of insurrection, when the Capitol Police, which, and by the way, the person responsible for Capitol security is Nancy Pelosi, because she's the one that actually runs the Sergeant at Arms, which controls the House, and yet she's considered off limits in their bogus investigation of insurrection, and they're going to use insurrection again, because there's about 30 Republican congressmen who basically said, we understand that people were upset about the election, and they're trying to accuse them of insurrection using an old Civil War law that says insurrectionists cannot run for office again. That's why they're calling it an insurrection. They're trying to not go against the Republicans in an election. They're trying to accuse them of insurrection so that they're not even able to run. So you can't make any mistake. When the fighting starts, it's not going to be called the freedom fight. We're all going to be accused of being Russian agents and traitors and insurrectionists, et cetera, blah-de-blah, et cetera. So they'll say we're fighting to support a foreign government, not to bring liberty or sanity back to our society or even – and a lot of the reason people are pissed off is because when their kids were sitting home and had to do homeschooling from computers, they began to learn what these sons of bitch communist teachers were actually teaching our kids, and the perversion that was going on, and the fact that the stuff that they were teaching was not education, it was communist socialization, and will be the villains. And it's important to understand that this is not to be bogged down by fourth generation warfare. It is for this reason primarily, that conflict with Russia makes so much sense for the globalists, perhaps not on the scale of a global war, but enough to keep their prospective populations in line. And whether or not this plan succeeds is another matter entirely. As already mentioned, these people regularly fail. Now, let me give you the biggest part of this. I don't know how much time we have left, but the biggest part of this is the reason why you've just seen all of the COVID vaccines and mandates begin to collapse in Ireland, in England, in Denmark, in Sweden, in Scandinavia,
in Canada.
Here's why, and why it's going to spread to the United States. You ready for this?
Yeah.
European insurance companies have now said, we're not going to cover people that die from COVID, because if you get a COVID vaccine, we consider it poison and we consider it an act of suicide. Therefore, we do not insure suicide.
And got this? Sign a form beforehand. They volunteered for an experiment.
That's right. And now the insurance companies are saying, nope, we're not going to cover hospitals insurance treating COVID patients, because if you took the vaccine and you got COVID anyway, as far as we're concerned, it's an act of suicide. We don't cover suicide. And so now the major European insurance companies are caving, and they caved last week. And so what are they saying? February 1st, that basically the vax mandates are going to be over because they can't be insured anymore.
But, you know, now they're flipping over 180 degrees because there are people that are in a trap because they went ahead and did these things because they thought that their insurance would not be valid. So they went and, you know, unknowingly unvalidated themselves.
Yep.
And now they're in a weird pickle. Yeah.
So that's the pickle they're in, when the insurance companies basically say, no, we're not doing this anymore. That's why the vax mandates are collapsing, because the insurance companies said it's by the way, it's exactly what happened to the Soviet Union. When the insurance companies and the banks said, we're not carrying your loans anymore, in November of 1989, the Berlin Wall collapsed 2 weeks later because they wouldn't carry the debt of the Soviet Union. And the banks said, no, we're done. And it had to do with Ronald Reagan spending something like $4 trillion, where he counterfeited the ruble, he collapsed their bond, everything they're doing in the United States, by the way. He collapsed their stock market, he inflated their currencies, and it all went through a guy by the name of Leo Wunta. And it was when Gorbachev decided he didn't want to deal with Reagan at the Reykjavik conference. Reagan said, I'm going to get those sons of bitches. And that's why he started spending money on this, you know, the Star Wars hoax. And they couldn't keep up. They tried to say it was because they didn't want to keep up militarily. No, it's because he counterfeited their currency. He flooded their bond market, and they collapsed. They exponentially collapsed financially, which is why the Berlin Wall collapsed and they all pulled in, because they could no longer afford to keep the empire in place, which is exactly what's going to happen to the federal government, because the federal government's no longer going to be able to afford to keep its grip on the states. And the states, one by one, are going to basically begin to when the federal funding begins to collapse, and you've got guys like Ron DeSantis in Florida, who, by the way, I think would make a much better president than Trump. And I think he'd be a stronger candidate, because he's not – I think Trump was a political fool, and I think he trusted all the wrong people and surrounded himself with swamp monsters, and he had no experience actually governing. And again, I point out that he signed none of the pardons that were on his desk, 148 for his friends. He's the one that sicked Fauci on us. He's the one that did the vax hoax. He's the one that spent us into oblivion, you know, all hugging the American flag and pretending he was, you know, our buddy and a patriot and all this other stuff. So, you know, not a fan. And again, my pardon was on his desk, and Juan O'Savin was saying, oh, no, he's going to be president again. All fake, all a hoax. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be interesting. So one way or another, I think Biden is going to be done or somehow die in office. Because that's the zero curse that happens. It's because of a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that happens in the chart of the United States. And by the way, Neptune was in Pisces when the – let me give you some astrological stuff. Neptune was in Pisces when the L.A. riots happened in 92. You had Pluto in Capricorn from 1770 to 1780 to about 1790 for about 18 years or so, about 20 years, when the American Revolution was happening. And you have all the astrological configurations of when Rome fell, and all of those things are happening all at once this year. So, just saying. One other thing, too, that's interesting. Madame Blavatsky, who was one of the major metaphysical influences of the 20th century, she said that in the beginning of the 21st century, that there would appear in the sky a death star. And when this death star appeared in the sky, it would be a massive culling of men and animals, that there would be a huge die-off of men and animals when this happened. All right, let's see if this is going to be true. In 1638, there was a supernova that exploded, and it's taken this long for the light from that supernova to hit us. Wow. And that supernova will appear in the sky, according to NASA, on June 1st. And it's interesting that it's going to appear on the left wing of Cygnus the Swan. And there's a lot
this
of,
year?
of this year, June of this year, 2022.
Something a long time ago, something happened far, far away, and it's going to hit us this year.
On June 1st.
Okay.
So on June 1st, if this happens, now, mind you, this object in the sky will be brighter than it's going to be brighter than the moon. And this thing is going to appear for the summer. It's also interesting that Pluto goes to 27 degrees Capricorn, which is when the American Revolution began. And that's going to happen, the first Pluto ingress, as we call it, at 27 degrees Capricorn, which is going to be the destruction of constitutions, banks, economic systems, you know, the whole deal. And that happens between June 22nd and August 22nd of the summer, while this thing is in Cygnus. Now, Cygnus the Swan is interesting because the swan represents royalty. It represents the royal family. It represents maybe the death of the queen. It's also interesting because the swan's always been used as a symbol to represent Satan or
Lucifer.
What about Nibiru?
What about the nemesis and Nibiru with the
It's all fake. It's all a big hoax. Sorry. I mean, I've been fighting the Nibiru people since 2003.
You don't think there's a dark star or a dark star that has like...
There is, but it's way the hell out in space. If it is, there's possibly a brown dwarf,
right,
which is a twin of the sun, but right, it's way the hell out there. There is...
But its solar system wouldn't interfere with our solar system. That's what they're talking about, it's like these moons
coming at us, if that's what you mean.
Like the binary star system type thing is what.
Okay, but the binary star system is okay. So here's the most common star structures. Here's my USC astronomy studies again. Jupiter is a failed star. Jupiter puts out about 10 times more energy than it takes in, and that was the entire plot of 2010, A Space Odyssey, where you had the alien rectangles go on to Jupiter and turn Jupiter into a star and warn us that we were to stay away. We can have every other planet in the solar system except one of the moons of Jupiter, I think Io, because life was going to be starting on Io, et cetera, et cetera. So Jupiter's a failed star. However, if you go further out into the solar system and you look at Nemesis, there's possibly a brown dwarf way the hell out there. If you look at Teotihuacan, which are the pyramids in Mexico, there is a star field. The three pyramids in Mexico are aligned with the three stars in the belt of Orion. But then if you look that there are pyramids that represent a planetary system, which show you all the planets in the solar system. You know, this was from the 8th century AD, the neoclassic, when Teotihuacan and Chichen Itza and Tikal and all the stuff was built. You know, this is what you learn from Ancient Aliens, is that Mexicans are really all from outer space. And so, you know, hey man, we're just sitting around in a beam of light. And suddenly there's a Home Depot that appears. And so me and Chewie started building all these temples, and because the aliens told us to. And so all
that's
these, all
trippy,
these,
man.
Yeah.
Shit.
Hey, you know, not only do we know that they're aliens and that they're all from outer space, but they even wear UFOs as hats. Huh? You think that's just coincidence? No, I tell you, they're all from outer space. But if you look at Chichen Itza, Teotihuacan, there's a whole solar system that's laid out, and there's a 10th planet that's way the hell out there that has a ginormous orbit. And Zachariah Sitchin was talking about, you know, this Nibiru coming through here. But in my conversations with him, because I knew him, he was saying that, well, even if it does come through, it wouldn't come through until about the 29th century. Billy Meyer from the Billy Meyer, you know, Pleiadian information, he talks about a destroyer comet, but this destroyer comet doesn't come anywhere near us until something like the 25th century. So, look, all this information about Nibiru all comes from a crazy woman named Nancy Leader. And Nancy channels Zeta Reticulans,
right.
And I debated these people at the World UFO Congress, and it was the last time I was ever invited, by the way, because I said, look, they're just making this stuff up, and it's just a fear thing. And yeah, they had a photograph of what they claimed was Nibiru being powered coming at us, and I proved that it was just the planet Io, and that what they were trying to claim was an exhaust system was a volcano on Io. And that you're all full of crap, and it's a total lie. And she was saying we're all going to be destroyed in March of 2003. And I was like, there's no proof of this. There's no – astronomy is the most populous science on Earth. And even Hayakitake, which was a huge comet at that time, was discovered by a 14-year-old Japanese kid. And that Hale and Bopp, one was an astrologer, another was an amateur, that these comets were all discovered by people with telescopes looking up in the air.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Sean, did you feel that earthquake today or whatever?
Yeah, it was a 4.1. It happened over in Palomar.
Those are the fun fours.
What's that?
Fours are the fun ones.
It was a 4.1, and it happened literally just over the hill. But I'm down in Ladera Ranch, which is right next to Laguna, so there's UFOs all over the place. And, of course,
anything below a 5 is fun. Anything above 5 is a little bit worrisome.
Well, it rocked a house, and it freaked my cat out. He was acting weird. So he jumped off the desk because something fell off the desk. And he looked at me like it was my fault. And I'm picking him up, and he's like, wah, wah, and then he gets all mad at me because he hisses at me because I, so he's all pissed off. He's hiding in the closet now. But, yeah, it was a 4.1. It was right over here in Palomar. But it's,
We only got, 2 minutes left. So, I really want to thank Sean for joining us and Mr. Rowe. And maybe we can have you back another time when there's not a football game going, too. And okay. Shout out to the chat room. People have been engaged. Everybody's been digging the conversation.
Thank you.
Come on down to revolution.radio. And hit the nav bar, and you can check out the archives, check out the schedule, buy something from the store, and click the donations. Make a donation. We need beer money. Sean, you got anything coming up you'd like to plug right now?
My book, Sands of Time, Book 4, Time Runner, Act 1, which is Book 1 of the trilogy, it comes out this week. So it's going to be – I don't have a website up for it. I'm sorry, but it's just going to be probably just SeanDavidMorton.com. But now I'm going to – all three books, Sands of Time 1 and 2, and then book 3, which is Isomer Protocol, I'm going to put out there as a set for $25 a piece, so you'll be able to buy the whole set. Also, anybody listening to the show that comes across it, just mention Stephen Crawford, and it'll get you a $15 discount on the book. So so instead of $65, it'll be $49. But it's also going to be turned into a major TV series by Arch Creek Films. So that's in the works now, where Arch Creek has bought a bunch of my films and TV series and all that. So we're working on production deals for all that stuff now with Hulu and streaming services. So it's cool. It's going to be I'm going to finally get to write, direct, and do all the stuff that
awesome.
In the film business that I was trained to do at USC all those years ago. And I dig the whole Ghostface Killer thing you got going on your website page. It's, you've got, I think you do this all by candlelight, and I'm reminded of hitchhiking ghosts that follow you home from the haunted mansion.
Yeah, it's actually crappy little flashlight light thing.
Did the power go? Did you forget to pay the bill at your house?
I had a cool one, and my grandson broke the damn thing.
All right, okay. Well, I just thought it was kind of a cool look for you. So, thank you, Stephen. Once again, SeanDavidMorton.com. The website should be up this week. The books are going to break, and I really appreciate you having me on. Love you. Thanks a lot.
Peace out, everybody.
All right. Go Rams. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
You going back in?
There's still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? You some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. You opposed government corruption. This is